Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. I'm in the company of Alex Middleton, one of the creators of Vespucci Adventures, that encourages people to put away their smartphones to walk in the great outdoors. He's come to Greenwich to walk around my local neighbourhood and talk about how he and his co-founder have worked tirelessly over the last 5 years to build a business around a shared passion for walking. It may be a passion, but as yet, it's not a profitable business. The COVID pandemic brought trials, but let them also develop the business in other ways. And Alex tells us what their plans are for the next 5 years, as well as offering some candid advice to anyone considering turning their walking passion into a business. You're not the new kid on the block. I realised that Vespucci Adventures had been running for nearly, 5 years now? So tell us a little bit about the five-year journey.
I co-founded the business with a guy called Peter, and we both share massive passion for walking, getting people outside. If I'm honest, when we got together and started discussing the, potential of creating a business around walking, getting people outside, we didn't really know what we were going to do. We shared this passion. We knew there was a slight gap in the market, which I'll chat through, and we wanted to inspire and empower people to not only get outside walking, but explore somewhere new that they might not have, which, is on their doorstep here in the UK. And, that journey, as I said, started when we were literally around his kitchen table trying to come up with an idea of what we might do. Today we've got 25 walks, signature hikes. They're all over the country now, which is very exciting. The other side of the business is, which we always knew we'd have a role to play in the corporate space, but trying to get corporates, to start with here in London, away from their desks, away from their emails and to-do lists, and get them out into the countryside, walking and talking with their fellow colleagues, and just, experiencing all the benefits that come with that. So we started the business on the belief that we could, on both sides, the consumer and corporate side. So that's how it all started, really.
Literally, how did it start? I mean, what did you do first?
Good question.
And what skills did you bring, each of you bring to the table?
Good question. So Peter has, Peter's actually a friend of my dad's, so he's a bit older than me. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. And he's had 30 years experience in the city. He started and sold businesses in the past, so he brings a lot of experience in that sense. And I bought the experience of knowing how to create a website, deal with the social media aspect side of things, design, as well as having a massive passion for getting outside and walking. So we thought bringing those two skill sets together would set us off in a good stead. And the first concept we came up with, which is still our main product, as it were, is our signature hikes. So to paint a picture, as I said, we've got 25 of them now, but what they are is you get a beautifully designed pack in the post, and in that pack will be one walk, and within the pack is a map and a guidebook. So we've partnered with Ordnance Survey, so we take the relevant section of their map, or their mapping, 1 to 25,000, and what we do is embed our route on top of that map. So not only do you have the route and the map, alongside that you have the navigation point. So technically you should be able to get around, if you're a good map reader, by just looking at the map and following the route, but we're aware not everyone is.
Yeah, so they're getting a paper map to the
paper map, physical map. So
was that? Oh, obviously it was intentional.
Yes.
I mean, we're in the land of the smartphone. So what was going on in your mind about the map?
Well, we're a big believer of trying to encourage people to put their phone away for the day. There's so many benefits in doing that. I know it's not always possible, but having an analog experience in a digital world. It's something I think is incredibly valuable. You don't need to go completely off-grid to experience some of these benefits, and, you know, a day out exploring, getting lost in a map. Yeah, as I said, I think it's very powerful, and I think if you are out on a walk and you're experiencing all the benefits nature can have, and you're exploring somewhere new, and you're having a, you know, a good time with friends, family, or colleagues, and an email comes through and it dings, you're just immediately, you know, taken away from that experience you're in and back to all the to-do lists and stresses of the city, so it becomes completely pointless. So I guess that was at the heart of it. There are many other reasons why we went for a physical map as well.
And, you know, it's value which provides you with a margin to make some money out of this.
Yeah, exactly. It's a product that we can sell. There are lots of good apps, you know, that help people get out and go walking. But whenever I'm walking, whether it's on one of our walks or somewhere else, I do like to have a physical map with me, because countless times has my phone run out of battery, or you lose signal, or, you know, your app doesn't load properly or whatever, and you just like to have that backup. We started with three, and the concept was that they were going to be really as accessible as possible from London, as they could be. So all the walks start and finish from a train station. They've all got great views, good nature, cafes en route. They've all got pubs as well. They're all based around a good pub, which I think is important for a good walk. They're anywhere from, you know, half an hour to 2.5 hours from London. That's at least how we started. And now that we've got over 25 of these walks, we now go as far as up to Edinburgh, got a new one just out in the Brecon Beacons. At the heart of the concept was to, one, make them accessible. So even if you are going to the Brecon Beacons for one of our walks, it's still built so you can very easily do it in a weekend. The longest walk that we have, I mean, I guess easier to say, the range of walks we have is from 10K up to 20K. But we're very aware that, you know, the people we're trying to inspire and empower to get outside, 20K might be too much for these people. And that's absolutely, you know, that's fine. And we're aware of that. So each walk, where possible, has a shortcut option, which we very much, you know, champion. That's fine. And there's also a plan B. So if there isn't a good shortcut option on the route, one can, you know, maybe get to the pub and you think, I've had enough. That's enough for me. And there'll be, in our guidebook, there'll be an option for how you get back to the start or back to the nearest train station to try and, yeah, really make them as inclusive and as accessible as possible.
When we're talking about accessible, you're meaning actually access to get to the walk, not necessarily accessible along the walk. You're not providing routes which are wheelchair accessible or...
Effectively, they're on national trails, they're all on walking trails or public right-of-ways. But in terms of the accessibility I'm talking about is close proximity and access from London. They're not limited to Londoners, it's just where we've started. But, you know, they're all accessible from train stations that, you know, you can get to in an hour or so. I've done lots of walks that we've put together, and I've thought, you know, I think, you know, we won't get there in time, or I've had enough, and there is no shame in that. You know, a lot of people that have gone out and done our walks, they've fed back and said, yeah, we stopped at the pub, and that's fine. I mean, really, the main aim is not to create some sort of macho product where everyone's trying to finish first, or look how quickly I did this race. It's not a, yeah, it really isn't a race. It's more about giving people the tools to get outside, inspiring them to do so.
So you do have shorter routes, which are available for free, which you do download onto a smartphone. Have I got that right?
Yeah, you have. So those are our... So the walks I just explained were our signature hikes, which is a physical product. We also have a product called Quick Escapes, which, again, we started in London to see if the concept worked. And these are free downloadable walks that you get a PDF sent to your phone and links in with our partner Ordnance Survey. So all the routes are embedded onto OS, the OS Maps app. Because as I said, the audience we're trying to, it's not limited to, but the audience we're trying to inspire might think that getting on a train somewhere they've never been, trusting a map of potentially a company they've never heard of, might be a step too far. So the idea around the Quick Escapes was to start people off on that journey. And these are shorter walks. So these could be anywhere from 3 kilometres to sort of, you know, the most I imagine is 10K. And they're taking in amazing areas in and around London. You know, we have one near here in Greenwich. The idea of those is to get someone on a quick escape and they think, God, I really enjoyed that. And hopefully, if they, you know, build a bit of confidence from doing a quick escape, that then the thought of doing a signature hike out somewhere where they've never been before isn't too much of a tall order. So yeah, it's really getting people out on that journey to...
You tell us a bit about the start, you tell us a little bit about what the products are. Tell us a little bit more about what's been happening with COVID and beyond. What's happening and what might be happening in the next 5 years?
COVID was an interesting one for us. As I mentioned at the very start, we did quite a lot with corporates. So we looked at businesses within London and we ran quite a few events for them. So guided walks, as well as big charity walks. And, you know, the biggest one we ran was for nearly 200 people. But when COVID hit, those events obviously stopped immediately. And in around that time, if I remember correctly, we had about 5 signature hikes. So that idea was still really getting going. And I say we just about had proof of concept. So we put all our eggs in the basket of the signature hikes, which is why, you know, we ramped those up considerably. Where it didn't help us, I should say, is the corporate stuff. Those big events just ground to a halt.
Which at the time was your bread and butter?
Yes, that's where we kind of had shifted all our focus into, because we were, you know, we did sign a few deals for some big walks, for big companies in London. So I think it was a bit of a mixed blessing that we put our energy back into the signature hikes because...
So the great news is that you've got these fabulous products that you're selling in Cotswold Outdoor. You're selling them online, I'm guessing.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got people who are downloading your stuff on smartphones. So what's for the next 5 years? Is it back to the corporates or something else?
Well, we are still engaging with some corporates. So really trying to encourage companies to take well-being seriously, which there's a massive shift going on at the moment, which is really good to see. So we're trying to have a role to play there. I'm aware walking is not the only way to solve this, you know, this global issue, but it definitely has a role to play. So we're speaking to a lot of corporates about getting them out on guided walks and, you know, selling our packs. In terms of where I see us going in the next 5 years, if I'm being really honest, we've hardly scratched the surface in terms of London, let alone the rest of the UK. So I really want to continue getting our brand out there, getting people out on our walks, curating new walks. If then we have the sort of assurances and we're confident that, you know, this is an idea that would technically work in other cities, other countries, then maybe look at that. But it's way too soon to look at that now.
Actually creating these walks,
yes.
When you sort of talk about, oh, it's 10 to 20 kilometres, it might have a shortcut, so there's going to be a good pub, it's going to be accessible, you know, it takes a long time to work all those things out. You obviously, under COVID restrictions, you were tied a bit tighter, so you must have recruited local people to... Did you, is that right, or was it something you and Peter did alone? You snuck out, broke the rules, and...
Well, you're right in at the start, you know, we knew a few walks each, so that was easy. You know, we went out and did the ones local to us that we knew. After that, then we had to get a bit creative. We have tapped into local experts in areas, because obviously it's their backyard. And there's been an amazing response from so many interesting people around the country who are so passionate and up for, you know, sharing their favourite walk with us. So we've worked with a number of curators for our new walks. But to be honest, that's one of the bits of the business that I love most, like going out, exploring an area somewhere new. As you say, there's quite a tight sort of criteria that these walks have to follow. So, you know, finding an accessible train station with a good pub in a nice bit of nature, you know, it's quite hard to find these. And that's something I love. And normally, it's quite seasonal, our business. So out of walking season, if there is one, then, you know, January, February, March, I'm out there and with the rest of the team looking for as many new walks as possible. And then we put it together early spring to then sell over the summer and over the Christmas period.
No, I mean, it sounds terrific. I mean, I'm assuming that you must have made a mint when you once worked in the city, and you're able to do it because you're investing a huge amount of time in this business. And I have to be honest, I've interviewed a lot of people who've been involved in trying to create a business around walking, and many have found it incredibly difficult to make it a profitable one. So are you there yet, or are you...
We're definitely not there.
Not there yet.
It is a massive challenge. That was a big question, Peter and I. You know, knew was at the heart of it. Of course, it's a lovely idea. Trying to get people outside, you know, explore somewhere new. Why wouldn't you think that's a good idea? But whether we can turn it into a business, I think, you know, we're still not 100% sure. There are some early good signs, but yeah, a long way to go on that front. I wouldn't like to say we're there on that.
Where did the passion come from for yourself? I mean, where was it? Were you dragged out by your parents on dozens of walks, or is there something else in your history
That's a good question. In terms of walking, I probably couldn't pin it down, but I've always been into one, being active, but also just when I'm outdoors, I'm happiest. I can't pin down when that first happened in the sense of walking, but I grew up in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong, you know, I spent the first 20 years of my life there. And that, as a city, you know, from an outsider's point of view, you probably think it's just a built-up, you know, very densely populated city with not much good pockets of nature and stuff to enjoy like that. But it's got incredible hills all around the city, you know, countless beaches, and that's kind of what you do there. And I guess if anyone working in an intense city like that, out of necessity, they got to get out and go experience nature when they can. So, and my parents were massively into that. So I was probably dragged along. And I would say I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. But it didn't really start there. My passion for getting outside sort of started later in life when I moved to London. And I started working in a sports agency that... You know, I loved, I really enjoyed all the work, but I did live in London and I didn't have all the tools to get out. I ended up trying to set myself challenges and bigger trips towards my mid-20s, just before I started Vespucci. I realised that I didn't need to do these massive month-long plus adventures. I just needed to get out every other weekend and slow down a bit. And when I found out that that was important, I just got massively into it. And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons I started the business. A lot of people get into walking and nature and later in their lives, but if I can encourage or inspire a few people to get into that sort of stuff from an earlier age, then, you know, that's a big... That's really what gets me going.
And where was the obsession with maps? Was that, were you good at geography at school?
I was pretty useless at geography. I found it very interesting, but I was useless. I was useless at most things at school. But I've always had an interest in maps. When I left university with one of my great friends, we cycled from Istanbul to Hong Kong over a sort of 7-month time period. And, you know, we always had a physical map of where we were, whether we needed it or not. And I guess all my trips that I've done throughout my life, I've just loved the idea of a map. And that's where the name of the company comes from. That's why we chose Vespucci, which not everyone knows. Amerigo Vespucci, an old Italian explorer and cartographer who America is actually named after. One, he was quite unknown considering America's named after him. And the fact that he was, you know, obsessed with maps and liked exploring, it just seemed a good fit.
The one thing I haven't asked you about is the Ordnance Survey, and you're something called a Get Outside, is it ambassador or champion?
I'm not sure which. Champion.
You're a champion.
Yeah, well, so
what's that entail? and how did you get picked?
Good question.
There are 100 of them out there.
There are lots now. So we started working with Ordnance Survey at the very start with Vespucci because we were sort of, I think it was officially called a sub-partner of theirs. So we got to use their 1 to 25,000 mapping. So it all started there, and, you know, we've developed our relationship as time went on. I think they saw something quite interesting in us.
So you actually sold the kernel of an idea to some person within Auden Service.
Yes.
And then they said, actually, we think you're onto something. We'll not only give you a leg up, but we'll take 25% of all your revenue.
Well, no, they don't take that much.
They're
actually very good on that
front. Good.
Yeah, when we became a partner, we could use their maps, and we do pay them royalties every map we sell. But, you know, we've been working with them since then, and through that relationship, you know, I found out about the OS Champions program and applied for that, I think, just before lockdown, which was the first year where they didn't have a big event when everyone got together, because obviously we were in lockdown. So I still haven't really met that many people who are OS Champions, but it's a great network to be a part of. It wasn't the easiest thing to get in there, but they saw something around the fact that, one, we were trying to promote walking to a younger audience, which, you know, so yeah, they saw something in that, as well as the curation. So, you know, OS Maps, they do so much fantastic work, and I think they're doing lots of it now, which is great, trying to have a more sort of tailored, curated experience rather than just throwing a newbie with a huge OS map of the South Downs and say on your way. That's not really going to work. And I think, and they've got lots of new products coming out to promote a more curated experience to make it easy for people. And I think that's what they saw in us. So, yeah, they've been really good from the start.
What would your advice be to someone who, you know, is passionate about walking, wants to share their ideas and get more people walking?
Yeah.
Well, what sort of things do you think they might think about doing? Should they be approaching you, and or should they be trying to set up something themselves? And maybe what are the three or a couple of things you'd say, watch out, these are the pitfalls?
One of the big attractions to walking is the fact that, if done right, it's not an expensive activity. I mean, throw a bit of food in your bag. If you've got a half-decent pair of shoes, you can really go anywhere. Off you go. So keeping it simple is key. One thing not to underestimate is the barriers of entry some people face when they think about the outdoors. And when we're saying the outdoors, it doesn't have to be, you know, on the top of a mountain in the Cairngorms. This could literally be, you know, in the Surrey Hills. I think a bit of advice would be, if you can break those down, and it can be done quite simply if you identify them, which one is highlighting where people should go. I think that's definitely one. If you can highlight great areas to explore that people can actually get to. I think if you can hold people's hands as much as possible, I mean, that's what we're trying to do at scale, but if you can really break down what they need, how to get out there, how easy it is, give them a get-out-of-jail-free card in an option to call it a day, because not everyone, you know, wants to do the whole thing. I guess one thing is also the cost of these things. So the one issue there that we've fallen into is that train prices have just gone, obviously, through the roof. But if you can, you know, highlight areas that aren't too expensive to get to, show them how to get there, and make them feel like someone's there with them, I think that's a good place to start.
And a pitfall to avoid?
We knew at the start, but again, is not to be underestimated, is the fact that because walking's so simple, because it's not expensive, very hard to encourage or inspire someone to think that there is value within a walk that's curated for them. Because I probably fell into this category in the fact that I would have said, I can go and find a place to walk on my own. I don't need to pay for a map and a guide. Not underestimating that.
For you, it's going to be a really easy question. I ask you to recommend a couple of walks to my listeners. Now, okay.
Oh, on the spot.
Yeah, it might be on the spot. Not that tricky, really.
No, it's not.
You know, and but also, maybe you might say, oh, God, there are so many.
Yeah.
So you can recommend more if you want.
Well, I'll start with my favourite, which starts in Totnes, and it takes you all the way along the River Dart down to Dartmouth. You stop in a place called Ditcham at the Ferry Boat Inn pub, and you ring a bell. This little ferry comes, picks you up. I think it's 50p for dogs, £1 for every person that goes on board. For me, there's some parts of that trail that is just, you feel like you're in sort of California or something. It's absolutely incredible.
That's the first one.
In terms of a walk near London, which I guess, you know, that was at the heart of our concept, so I should choose one. There are so many
colour.
Places, yeah, like you can, you know, you've got the North Downs, South Downs, Kent Downs. I guess the one that we started on, which was curated by a guy who's been really helpful to the business, called Robert Hicks, and he lives in Guildford, or at least he lived in Guildford. And Guildford, you know, it's not the most romantic town, but it's, you know, it's pretty much near on under half an hour from central London on the train. And you go up up into the North Downs and then down into a little town called Albury, where there's a great pub there. It just really highlights the concept that if you're seeing a friend on the other side of London, it can sometimes take you, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And in under half an hour, you're out looking over Surrey. It just highlights the concept for me, and that's just such a nice walk. And I've probably done that one the most. That's my go-to if I'm just need some fresh air.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Alex Middleton. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easy Tronic.